Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is November 30, right?
Yep.
I knew that.
Tomorrow's December 1st. Can you believe it?
It's over, B.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Have you started Christmas shopping yet?
Hell no. I never start Christmas shopping this early. It actually just occurred to me, really. That Christmas is
like in a three, in three
away.
exactly. literally,
it's a paycheck.
I think I might get two actually. Mm-hmm. I think I get one, and I think I get one like the Friday before the Sunday.
Right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, Sean's not here today. He had to tend to young Jordan. She wasn't feeling well, but he sends his love.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jordan.
And he's in. Naima's mad at me because I was late.
This wet
and
weather.
And it's nasty outside.
It's so nasty outside. And it's for two straight days.
It's disgusting, yo. It's terrible. But you know what's going to happen next. It's just going to turn brutal cold.
Right.
Like, this time next week, it'll be like in the 30s and shit.
Right.
In the 20s. But we here, you know, for y'all. We trying to be consistent again. At least going to end in 2017 being consistent. And we here, and I can't find my damn phone, but I know I had it because I was listening to music. But don't worry about that. We're gonna keep the party going.
Where's your coat?
It's somewhere. Not I wore this sweater. I find it somewhere because I want to do the time.
You walking around with nothing on your neck?
No, I got a scarf. Got a scarf and a hat. But yeah, we here. So we got a nice set of topics to talk about. I want to end this show. The last topic. Just let you know now. We're gonna talk about in depth. Insecure, because that is that we're gonna definitely fight. I mean, surprise, we're gonna fight. And that has been the topic at my office every day.
It's a topic on
everywhere.
Social media, on everything. Like, shouts to Issa, because having one season of a show that inspires this kind of dialogue where people are really comparing it to their lives, and I mean across the board, 20-year-olds to fucking 40-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yes, you gotta win.
Everybody's really having the conversation. Season two, I think, like, we got this from women for being Mary Jane, but we didn't have it for both. For the first season of being Mary Jane, but we didn't have it for, like, both sexes.
Yeah.
Like this.
Well, like I said, let's save it for the end, because, you know, we obviously have a lot to discuss. I want to give a quick shout to, I don't know, what the hell? I just had my phone because I walked in playing music, but whatever. But
is it? Huh?
I find it.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. God damn it! You know, when you're getting old, when it be like, God damn it, where my glasses at? Them on your head. Janie, you see my glasses? I want to give a shout to Is The Real. They I did a year-end wrap up, Black music wrap up with them last night. Mm-hmm. I have done this before. I think it was the years.
But you don't usually do it with them. You usually do it with Complex, right?
Yeah. We started, we were doing Al Lindstrom, and then I morphed into Complex. Mm-hmm. We did it in the years of 2011 through, I believe, 2013 or 14.
Right.
And then we stopped. But it always was bothering me that we didn't do it anymore because, sorry, y'all. I'm playing some music. I'm listening
to a slow jams. What is happening?
I'm listening to a hot artist, a demo that I don't want y'all to hear yet because I think she's gonna win me a Grammy, so I can't. But it was always in my mind to do it because people loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody always asked about, like, why we don't do it anymore. And, you know, fortunately for us, nobody had done it since.
Right.
So it was a wide open space. So I talked to the, after I did my podcast with Is The Real about a month or so ago, and that went really well. I was like, I'm going to ask these dudes if they want to do it. And they were totally into it. So it was me, obviously the guys from Is The Real, Scotty Beam, who works at Hot 97, Naomi, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but she's great. She's the head editor, Fader.
Okay.
Combat Jack,
mm-hmm.
And Jason Rodriguez. Jack and Jason were
they did it for their podcast?
Yes, we did it for their podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. Jason and Combat Jack were part of the original crew.
Right.
So, but we had a great time. We discussed the whole year in black music, rap, mm-hmm. and R&B.
Right.
And I think people are going to really enjoy it when mm-hmm. it comes out. I think it comes pretty soon, probably yeah. chopping next
week. So that's Waste of Time with It's the Real.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. and I know those are your boys and stuff. Yeah, so, those peace to them. And I think, oh, so, you know, let's start off with Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Damn, Brian here talking about his Thanksgiving. But my Thanksgiving was quiet.
You guys didn't host?
No.
Because you host everyone.
Yeah, no, I went to my cousin's house in Queens. Mm-hmm. It was actually the year of my mom's passing.
Right.
Was that day. It was so it was very, yeah, very melancholy, of course, and very kind of just, you know, like dreamy, like surreal.
Yeah, hazy.
Like, yeah, hazy. Yeah. Very hazy, you know. So I went out to Queens. To my cousin's crib. We had some family over. My aunt May.
Of course, from, Aunt May.
Who came up from... I hadn't seen her in, like, by 11 years.
Oh,
she
wow.
moved, 'cause she moved to Alabama. She's okay. back to Alabama. She's okay. from Alabama. She moved to New York. And I moved up here in 63 or 64. And she moved back in maybe, like, a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And... But she came up for the first time in like 11 years.
Oh, wow.
So it was good to see her. And, you know, I may like to talk. She's mm-hmm. telling the story. Asking all kinds. She's the one who asked me. She was talking about the Kardashians. She was like, are they gypsies? I was like, okay, I don't know. They look like gypsies. They dark like the gypsies.
She's not that far
she's
off
really
because,
not.
Because that is a slur for...
She wasn't really that far off. I mean, but I was just kind of, for whatever reason, it made me mad uncomfortable. Yeah. But I was like, maybe they are. But anyway, so it was good, obviously good to see family and a good few. My cousin fried a turkey and all that, so it was dope. But you had an eventful one.
Yeah, kind of. I was volunteered to cook dinner for my boyfriend's family. But it was kind of like a series of interesting events because I was feeling all this pressure because I was in LA until like I got home Tuesday night midnight before Thanksgiving.
Basically, you got home Wednesday.
Well, I got home Wednesday, but
damn.
I like
and you still had to cook.
Yeah, but I had done the menu plan and I sent him the grocery list. Like I had done all of that.
Okay.
So that he could shop and we had to do some shopping still on Wednesday because there's some stuff that I needed
always.
To eyeball
always,
in the
yeah,
store.
Yeah, you
and
always
pick
got
up.
To shop on Wednesday.
And but what happened was. He told his mom, like, I'll handle dinner. Because we were just trying to take it off her plate. So she didn't have to handle all that because mm-hmm. she was hosting. But he didn't tell her, really, I was handling dinner. So, like, he didn't...
Who did she think was going to cook?
I guess she thought it was him. He cooks. So
oh,
I
he
guess
does
thought,
cook.
Yeah,
oh, okay,
I guess
okay.
she thought it was going to be him.
Okay.
She didn't tell him it was going to be... He didn't tell her it was going to be me. I guess she... I mean, she knew I'd be involved, I'm sure.
Yeah, she didn't know you was going to be the head chef.
Right. So, he didn't give her the menu I sent.
Oh.
So she started handing out dishes to people to make, right? So they're like,
to bring
we're,
over, like, pop
yeah.
Up,
so then
style.
As we're shopping, then it's like, I'm checking on everything. He's like, oh, my mom told such and such to make this, such and such to make that. And I'm like, well, why didn't you tell her, you know, we had
tell
it under control?
Gonna,
so he's like, oh, I told her now. I'm like, did you tell her the menu? Did you tell her this? Did you tell her that?
Yeah, by so that then, point, people's cooking.
Right.
It's
and then
over.
She had bought a turkey. We had a turkey, and we both had fresh turkeys. So
you got to make them.
So we had to make them. So we had two turkeys. So I was like, that's cool. Cause this was my first time doing the bird and I had a 16-pound bird. So that took some pressure off of me. Cause I was really paranoid about the turkey. I wasn't paranoid about anything else. I was paranoid about, for some reason, turkey is so complicated.
Yeah.
Unless
clean,
you fry
clean
it
out.
You got to clean it properly.
Yeah,
you got to cook it at the right temperature.
And,
you got to baste it right.
Yeah,
or brine. Or
brine,
even if you
yeah,
brine
whatever,
it, you got to
yeah.
make sure you got the right brine solution.
Yeah,
you got to make sure you got the right base.
Yeah.
You got to make sure it's cooked all the way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah,
but not dried
lot.
Out. Like, turkey's a lot. And it takes so long. So, then his cousin at the last minute decided, fuck it, he gonna fry a turkey. So, we had three turkeys.
Two and regulars and one fried.
Two regulars and one fried. And I cooked everything. Once we knew his mom was cooking the turkey, I was like, well, I can't cook there because I can't put two turkeys
ain't
in
no,
the oven.
Ain't no room. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, I had to cook everything at Greg's house, and we had to transport everything out to his parents. So that was a headache. And it also put more pressure on me with time because we couldn't leave
until
everything is
done.
Like,
exactly.
if you're on site, and
yeah,
like,
then it's, you know,
you gotta pull
a couple
things
yeah,
out,
yeah.
whatever. So it was stressful.
So,
like, towards the end, I literally looked like I was on Chopped or something. Like, I had this going over here, I had that going over there.
So you had mad food.
So I made the turkey, stuffing. I did, or dressing rather, because I baked in a pan. I did the dressing the night before. Homemade cranberry sauce. Gravy, of course, to go with the turkey. Mashed potatoes, which I call them whipped potatoes, which is like this really creamy pesto recipe. Macaroni and cheese. Roasted Brussels sprouts. I think that was it.
Damn.
But it was still a lot of food.
Yeah, it's a lot of food. So you still got mad leftovers?
I brought some leftovers back to my house. I left most of them at my boyfriend's house. Hopefully they've thrown everything out now.
It's almost
been a week.
Yeah, I only had one plate of leftovers, and honestly, I threw it out last night. I didn't even get at it. I was just like, eh.
Well, then Mom was in town, so Mom was with Mr. Eric for Thanksgiving.
Mr. E, if you're listening, I still drink that Jameson and ginger every time I go out.
I get love.
Like, yeah. Every time I order that, a bartender or a waitress be like, good drink.
Yeah, it's a good drink. It's a good drink, and it's an easy drink.
Easy.
So she had been with his family. So she, because she was in town, she was like, oh, let's do something at your house on Saturday. We can have some folks drop in. And I said, cool, but I could not even fathom cooking again. Like, yeah. I couldn't even think about, like, a menu or nothing.
Yeah.
I made it desserts and drinks. So everybody came through. You bring a dessert. Bring some liquors. I mixed up, like, big pitchers of, vodka lemonade with limoncello, of sangria, of Moscow mules, or I make what you wanted, you know, on request.
And y'all go ahead.
Just ate and played Taboo and watched football.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good Saturday night.
It was a good holiday.
Yeah, it's a good holiday. Yeah, everybody, happy holidays, everybody. And, Christmas is coming up, and I want everybody to be safe and happy out there. I want to mention, we'll talk about, I guess, the Soul Train Awards.
Okay.
We're going to keep this show fairly light.
I saw a part, but not all.
Okay. I watched all.
Okay.
Not just me. It seems like for a lot of us, especially it seems like the kind of internet Twitter-ish family, or however you want to call it, it's because this is probably like the fourth or fifth one that they've done on this Sunday night.
Right.
It's turned into like some viewing. Like we locked in.
It's
Sunday night. It's the end of the weekend. Ain't nobody outside because you got to go to work tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? You're tired anyway from the whole damn weekend. And like, so the timing, the programming of it, like you, for that black audience, you cannot have a better time than Sunday night at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
The Sunday after Thanksgiving.
It's great.
It's great. And the show is obviously for a 6 to 60 show. So they talk a little bit about some young stuff, but obviously like the performances are, you know, it's pretty much all R&B. And it's like, you know, R&B people who are legendary or have had a lot of success in their field. So they really know how to perform. Like it ain't no slacking on the performer. On the Soul Train Awards, like the level is now where it's like, yo, dudes is going out there giving it up. Like you ain't going out there playing. Now, of course, there's gonna be some better than others.
Yeah.
But like people on that Soul Train Awards, you know, this year was Drew Hill and them, Cisco and them, Brandy, who got the Lady of Soul Award.
Carl Thomas.
The
Teddy Riley
tribute.
And then the new people were
Yuna.
I missed her, but I saw what's this guy's name who has the Permission song?
Oh, the boy. Yeah.
I don't know.
He had a hat on.
Yeah.
it was another gal. And I actually was
kind of reminds me of Life, but like a
Doesn't he kind of give you life? And I was actually surprised on the
Soul Train. Roe James, that's his name.
Roe James, yeah. Exactly. I was surprised that, because it's always on the black show, I was actually surprised that Steven doesn't have a gospel performance. Because we always have one, but maybe he doesn't want to do it. Because Soul Train never have gospel artists perform on the show, so it doesn't make sense.
Not unless they were crossing.
And I'm not necessarily saying I'm requesting that. I'm just saying usually on a black show, you're going to get a little bit church gospel.
I mean, I just think it's so old school. So, well, that's the other thing. I think you may have just said this because I'm checking emails, but they've now firmly said, okay, we're not even going to try to necessarily have all current shit.
No.
We're going to do, like, there was no reason in hell for Carl Thomas to be on a Soul Train Awards.
I was stunned when Carl Thomas walked out there.
Or for Drew Hill to be on a Soul Train Awards. They have embraced the fact that in this era of where once you reach a certain level of success in urban music, you're looking at a crossover audience, mm-hmm. it's harder to pull those big urban acts for something like a Soul Train mm-hmm. than it was when the Soul Train Awards was big, like in
was
the 90s.
Like BT, was yeah. the Soul Train Awards was, were the BT Awards. Awards
mm-hmm. Right. So they've now figured, they cracked the code. They're like, fuck it. We gonna give you old Drew niggas Hill, you ain't seen. Let me talk about Drew Hill for a second.
Come on now, don't you be talking about Cisco and them now like
Cisco
that.
Cisco ain't got the range no more. I don't know if everybody noticed.
I thought Cisco sounded kind of good.
But he wasn't hitting none of them. There were none of them.
I think Cisco might be a smoker. So
Cisco ain't got the range. Like, he wasn't hitting, he didn't really hit even that last note in Beauty after the bridge, like with the "you can find right here inside of me, inside of me." He held it for like 2 seconds.
Well, you know, Cisco, you know.
But Jazz
who
ain't even try to do Tell Me. Jazz was like, "I'll just come out."
I ain't doing no jumping.
Jazz was like, "Y'all tell me when y'all fit." And I knew Jazz was there because I had seen a picture. So when they were,
I didn't know he was there. I was like, "Where's Jazz?"
So when they were doing Tell Me, I was like, "Where Jazz at?" And so and that.
Jazz,
he was like, "Y'all tell me when y'all finish with
Jazz." Right now, a smooth 290.
Like, Jazz was never small,
but Jazz is massive.
He's like two of Cisco.
Huge.
He's so big. Leather thing, he looked like turtle you used to have to fight on Mario Brothers to battle when you got to the end. He did with that spiky leather jacket. That's what he looked like. I can't remember. Wasn't it King Crow? What was his name? Something like that. That's what he looked like. But anyway.
He looked like Big Red. You'd be on the grill at all the cookouts with the towel on his shoulder.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, this chicken done? Yo, come on, get this chicken.
But Jazz still can sing. Cisco can sing in a lower register, but Cisco ain't got that them notes no more. Them notes that he stole from Casey.
Oh, my God.
Now, let's also talk about Guy. Because Aaron Hall ain't got the range.
Well, you know, Aaron has been through a lot, and allegedly, because I don't want no issues with nobody, doesn't always have rumors have been he hasn't always taken the best care of himself.
Right.
And it shows in the vocal. He still looks good.
He looks fine, but he talk a lot of shit. Aaron been on, anytime anybody gives Aaron a platform, he talk a lot of shit.
Every singer out.
He talk a lot of shit, and then you had a shot.
And you ain't really
come with it. And I really, as much as I appreciated the Teddy tribute.
Teddy tribute was great.
It was great, but I really didn't need all the Roger Troutman.
Don't give me no butts.
Really need all the Roger Troutman.
But Teddy does that. He's been doing that.
He has been doing that, but like, I would have liked to have more of the original vocalists come out for the songs. I guess SWV was busy.
They were. I read online.
Oh, yeah. Coco said they was out of the country.
They were saying they was out of the country. Now, why are you still going now? They might have a show in Amsterdam or something.
Where was Blackstreet? They didn't have time to come out.
Apparently, there's a lot of issues with...
With him and Dave?
Dave actually said, either on Twitter or on the gram, that... There's another member, he insinuated that was Chauncey, that there's a lot of issues, and Chauncey wouldn't sign off on something, and that's why Blackstreet wasn't there. What did you think about him bringing Tito Jackson out?
It was Tito cool. I'm not mad at Tito. It was cool, but you didn't really get that, like, it killed the breakdown, and that's all you want is really, like the real, you don't really want a Tito solo during that, you just want... to get that started.
That's one thing I will say. Teddy's tribute was great. So this is by no means like desecrating or saying anything bad about it. But I will just say that the dance steps that Fatima put together for Remember the Time are so iconic that
That's why I said everybody just wanted that breakdown.
They should have had two kids or two dancers, maybe dancers of some known something, come out and do that.
Right. The background dancers weren't doing that?
I don't remember, but I would like to see two people that we knew do it.
The background dancers were doing it, but it just wasn't
popping like
so
that.
Prominent. Because Tito was in the stage.
Tito was out there on the guitar.
Right,
on the
guitar. Everybody wasn't hitting it.
But to me, the most, I guess, controversial part of the show was the Brandy part.
Right, so I missed... The shades
you missed Brandy.
I saw Brandy.
I missed it too until I read about it the next day.
I missed the shades. So a couple things about Brandy's performance. I thought some of the songs she chose to do were a little weird. Like her intro was the Angel in Disguise intro, and I love that.
But
fucking
she didn't
song.
Sing the song.
But she didn't sing the song, and I was
she
like,
did that a few times.
I was like, because that's my shit. Like
yeah,
I was like,
that's everybody's shit.
That summer that Blue Moon came out, I played that shit all the fucking time.
Full Moon.
I mean, Full Moon, mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah, but same thing.
Same shit.
So some of her song choices, like I didn't know Talk About was really that big of a hit for her.
Talk About was actually pretty big. I mean, okay. I wasn't as big as, you know, Full Moon or like a, right. I Want to Be Down or something, but it made impact because right. it was a big
well,
record.
It had
and
Ye on it.
And that was early Ye when he was right. really on the up.
He was on the rise.
Swing, and so it was a big deal for them right. to be in a video together. And
right.
all that.
So, I mean, but like, you know, you could have done Broken Hearted. You
she
could have
done a lot. Yeah, she didn't do
You know what I mean? She didn't do any like the really big
she
ballads.
She didn't do Best Friend.
All right, she didn't do, like,
she didn't do Sitting Up in My Room? Yes. No. She did the other one with Mace.
No, she did Top of the World.
Top
Sit
of the
Up
world.
In My Room didn't have Mace. She didn't do Sitting Up in My Room. Like, I feel like she didn't
Sitting Up in My Room, that was the one Babyface did?
That was
did.
The Waiting Hell. Yeah, that
the
was
Waiting Hell, right?
So it's like, and, you know, she had these background dancers that weren't the background singers.
That was
the backing vocals. With female vocals, but you got these men behind
with
you,
microphones.
With microphones.
That was a huge issue for me. Them two guys, God bless them, they made some money that night.
They could have just been dancers. You didn't have to have them with mics.
I didn't know. I felt like Brandy had, first of all, I think, you know, Brandy and mom was there, and I'm sure mom was very involved with putting the show together as well. I felt like they wanted to come out and have a big show, obviously a big bang, a big production, and I'm with that. But I felt like we wanted to see Brandy. And it was a lot of times where them dudes was there and was like, why are y'all here? You said, they're not really singing. It almost felt like Brandy was kind of scared to be on stage by herself.
Well, to that, like, I actually thought the whole black and white stark theater thing was a little too, like, it was too overthought.
Her whole set was overthought.
Yeah, like, it didn't make sense. Like, you could have just had Brandy with the fucking band. Like,
that's what I wanted.
And you would have been fine. And you would have had the stage would have been, you know, this space would have been full.
Mm-hmm.
The stage would have been full.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have had like a bunch
still
of
still got your
space.
Background singers there.
You still
and
got
they could have came
vocals.
Out a little two step with you at certain points. But I ain't need the dudes and you climbing up on the thing.
Like climbing the ladders and there's somebody done put some dollar store balloons.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's just a lot. I just didn't understand.
But Peace the Mace coming out with the crazy big fur coat,
looking like Mace and Betha from '98.
And
Peace
to Teyana Taylor because
she was jamming
and.
She was so Harlem in that moment.
She cracks me up because
as
soon as she opens her mouth to speak, it's 138th Street coming out of her pores. Like, she's a great-looking girl. She's doing her thing.
Right.
And, you know, she's a mom now. And I like her a lot. But, like, you almost kind of start to kind of forget.
Yep.
And then she starts to talk.
Did she say something?
It's like, oh, she from uptown. So when Mace came out, it was a lot of Harlem on that show, by the way.
Yeah.
It was Tiana, it was Teddy, it was Dougie, it was Keith Sweat,
Where was Keith Sweat?
He was in the Teddy Tribute. He was talking on the Teddy Tribute.
I totally missed
Keith
Sweat. Oh, you mean in the video?
In the video part,
okay, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, Mace, and somebody, and the Rex and Effects.
Yeah.
It was like mad Harlem cats out there. But, Brandy's thing, I mean, I'm happy for Brandy. She deserves it. Mm-hmm. But I just wish that, like you said, she would have just kind of stripped it down a little bit.
Yeah, like, come on,
you know? But overall, the show was great.
She's at the age now where...
Because she's about 35, 36.
Yeah, you don't need to be trying to kill us
and
with
dancing.
High production performance. Like,
I don't even know the vocals. Dancing.
Her and Usher both. Like, y'all just give me some vocals.
Yes, please. Stop with the dancing.
Stop
like,
with
your,
the dancing.
Your niggas is...
Usher came out for the damn BET White House shit. And I was like, nigga, if you don't stop trying to moonwalk across the stage.
Please, and with the necklace.
This goddamn,
and
what?
Throwing the neck around, necklace around your neck and all that shit. Goddamn, this dress down there. Somebody, boy.
Just
sang. You know what I'm saying? Just sang the goddamn song. Other shit. All we want here. All we want here is You Got It Bad Anyway. Shit. But, you know, overall, you know, so we had a good time at the BET Awards like we always do. Erica's a great host. And we had a good time at the show. Did you watch the Black Ink finale?
Yes.
I didn't realize that was the finale until the show ended and they started talking about, you know, what they learned this season or whatever. I was like, oh, this is the end?
First of all, it felt like a short season, right?
It did. I was like,
was it even 10 episodes? I felt like, what?
I think it might have been, if it was 10, it was like just 10.
It was just 10?
Yeah.
First of all, these children, they get my pressure up like they related to me. Because I feel like, you know why they get my pressure up? Because they're not like the New York cast. Like, you just know the New York cast is just, it just is what it is. Like, ain't but so much redemption, ain't but so much rehabilitation, ain't but so much you can do with the New York cast. They just are what y'all.
You saw the drama of the New York cast already?
Yeah.
What's been going on with Duchess
with
and
With Season Duchess, yeah. Yeah, so. With these kids, that's the first thing, they're really young. They're all pretty young.
Well,
they're all like
your sister's age.
30.
You're like your sister's age.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's, yeah.
How old is she?
She's 30.
Okay.
So. How old am I? She's 31. She just turned 31.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
they're like a shade younger.
Right.
Like, so, 5 years down.
Right. They're young.
26, 27.
They're young, and they mm-hmm. act young. The mm-hmm. New York cast is older, so that is one thing. Mm-hmm. They're young, and they act young. So they're more like a Love and Hip Hop, Hollywood age group, I feel like.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
But they think they really got this shit figured out. And I think that's kind of what frustrates me, because so many of the mistakes they make, it just comes from just being really green
mm-hmm.
and not realizing how green you are. And I think with all of them, like, you kind of see that it could be potential for more. Like, Danielle, you a good girl. We already know that. What's the name?
He's a drunk.
The fake hoe girl.
Oh, Charmaine.
Charmaine, you ain't really this chick.
But you know, she's doing too. Charmaine does.
Charmaine does all of it.
It's too much. It's like
she does everything.
Every show, you're butt ass naked. Like,
yeah, like, chill out.
Like, how was that fly?
Like, please. Chill.
For anybody, even like the girls in the, you know, the new girls of social media who
right.
are like the IG girls, or even them, you know, the Black Chinas and these types. Right. They don't even do that. Like, it's like, shorty,
like,
you're butt ass naked every and twerking on people. Every show,
I
like
maybe I want to see a picture of Charmaine when she was young, because I feel like maybe she wasn't that cute, and then she got really cute like in high school or college.
Possible, and so now she's OD'ing.
Yeah, because she's not used to it. Because
it's like, yo, but the thing is like, it's just too much.
And yeah, she's loud, and she's
loud and drunk and just sloppy.
Right, and then Danielle ain't loud. Like I slept on Danielle last season because she ain't loud, but she ain't really too smart either.
No,
and Kat. I don't know what the fuck Kat was going through this season. Like, Kat just on.
She's trying to be aggressive with everybody.
Yeah,
you see,
like,
your
what are
old
you
girl,
doing?
Old girl pops with a two-piece, yeah. though. Lovely. Like, a fours girl. Like,
right.
What? Pop, pop, pop. What? You don't want none
and
of this.
And Kat had no business being mad that fours girl was even at something in the first place. Like,
I think Sean nailed it, though. I think it was some colorism.
Right. But also, four and fucking
Don.
Y'all so fucking stupid. Like, everybody's just, like, I just be shaking my head.
Only one that ain't dumb is Ryan.
And even Ryan gets caught up in his emotions sometimes, but I'll give that to Ryan just turning 30.
Yeah, but he towards the end of the season, like he met the old girl's friend, and he
right.
was chilling with her and wasn't being too aggressive and
right.
foul. And,
well,
you know,
I
he
didn't
was,
like
he,
the way
he turned into the voice of reason. Right. In anybody's circumstance, he would be the one to be like, yo, chill
well,
out.
Except with the new girl.
Yeah, he got caught up.
That
with
shit
that.
Was really out of hand.
And I think it was foul.
It was so
it
foul.
It was so foul. And I think that I hope that I should say I don't think I don't know. I hope that he regrets how he treated her.
Right.
Even if he didn't want her to work there anymore, the way he let that go down with her
yeah.
and Van, that shit was just foul. It was like, fam, this girl didn't do
like
anything.
Like with her and Van, or even like after that when they're outside with everybody, and Kat's like, "This my shop. This my
yeah.
you don't even work here anymore. What are you talking
yeah.
about?"
Yeah, and Charmaine was like, "I'm you're fired." And
yeah,
like I didn't like that. But my issue, okay, the dude, let's talk to what's the old girl name again? Who date Terrence?
Danielle. Terrence got issues.
Well, he's a drunk. He's
well,
a drunk.
Yeah, clearly.
He's got alcohol problems. Like, because I think he's one of them dudes that don't even...
Remember?
And don't even need to drink a lot to get twisted.
Right.
Like, I feel like he could have, like, a drink or two and be that. I don't think he's, like,
right.
downing bottles of liquor.
I also really kind of was side-eyed in production that they even dropped him in DR.
Drunk as a skunk.
Like, that was
And, like,
okay.
go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't know how much Danielle really loves or doesn't love the dude, but I will say this from the other side. As a dude, I guess as a woman too, as a person, I should say, I should make it a man thing. It's got to be a lot for that dude to know that Ryan was doing all kind of God knows what reckless shit to Danielle sexually, and then it stopped. And then she comes back to Terrence, and she's still, you know, around Ryan all the time. Even though Ryan doesn't seem to be interested at all, even though, but as a dude, I can tell you, I wouldn't be surprised if there's slide off that happened from time to time. Ryan's just bored. Like, yo, let me call this chick and just get some head real quick, because she'll do it. You know?
But I also feel like, what was crazy to me is that, you know, he's talking to Ryan, and Ryan's like, you and your girl can get out of here. You can get your girl and leave.
Yeah.
I got somebody here. Like, you know what I mean? Ryan's really like, I don't know what the fuck you even talking
about. Yeah, like, why are you tripping like that?
And he's still making it a thing. I also think he wants to feel like Ryan wants her. So I think some part of him wants to feel like Ryan wants her, because A, he doesn't want to feel like it's all on her.
Ryan don't want
her. And B, he wants to feel like a big man because some other man wants his girl. You know what I mean?
Ryan don't want that girl.
At all.
Ryan's not even thinking about that girl. But I don't like, I actually don't like
the way. But when he pulled out his little bullshit ass gold filigree ring.
Oh, yeah.
To be like, you see this?
And then he throws it over the terrace. To you. But she looked like, she actually looked like she was like, damn, I was going to get proposed to.
I don't think she really even really saw the ring. But this little gold ring.
Yeah, he got that from Zales.
Little fisherman's knot on the top of it. This shit costs $150. This little ring. And be like, you leave like
every
me.
Kiss begins
or you
with
me.
K's.
He's like, she's dodging a bullet because he's abusive.
He is.
Because he literally said, if you are mine, you're supposed to do what I tell you to do. If I tell you to do something, like, you do it. What?
Yeah.
Nah. That's not how this works.
He's a terrible dude, but I got a feeling that Danielle is not as innocent as she kind of tries to spin
on
the show.
I don't think so either.
You know what I'm saying? And I do think that if Ryan, even if Ryan's not doing that, I do think that if Ryan wanted to blaze again, it would literally be nothing. He was like, yo, what you doing later? Like, come through. Mm-hmm. She's going to be like, she's going to call Terrence and tell her she got something to do and meet Ryan somewhere and get tore up. But yeah, that show's over. That season's over. Not really missing it. It's like, whatever. Yeah. You know, I will watch Black Ink New York because, you know, Sky is my... I love Sky because she just tickles me. But I'm sure that's going to be a mess, too. Did you watch Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Yes.
Okay. So, what do we think about that?
I think that, Well, I also got to talk about, I guess, last week, too, because I wasn't here. Couple things. I'm so sick of Sheree and Kenya's house conversations. I'm tired of both of them.
Yeah, who cares, B?
Kenya, who is always so quick to talk about violence in any of her castmates, is such a hypocrite because she's back with Matt, to me, right? Like, if Bob was Portia... Any motherfucking time she tried to talk about me, I'd be like, but your man, though. Like, you good with him. You're good with the man. You're good with that man.
Yeah.
Who was roughing you up.
Yeah.
But you tried to say Todd. You tried to say Christopher Williams. Like, you tried to say everybody else, me, you know, whoever else was fucking threatening your well-being.
But you had to literally call the cops on this dude.
Yeah, they literally called the cops on this dude. But y'all good. But anybody else, you be needing to call security the moment we walk through the door. Oh, okay. Okay, I see you.
And on the Instagram,
I also still think Matt's slow, but whatever.
I think he might be a little slow too. And on Instagram, they're saying that they done broke up again.
Yeah, I think
and
they showed
a new girl.
They showed some previews for the next episode where she's about to say that he lost his temper again.
Yeah, they're saying he broke up again. They have a picture of the gram with some girl he's supposed to be with, a big old super curvy, crazy, thick one. So, I don't know. Maybe, God bless it, it didn't work out.
Okay.
What do you think about Sheree and Bob?
Sheree and Bob are going to get back together. I'm not really mad at it. I think Bob still has some shit with his pride he needs to get past. But I don't see Sheree doing anything differently right now. Like, it benefits her. She's in a place where it makes the most sense. Like, the kids seem to be okay with it. She needs somebody to help her in that big-ass house.
Yeah.
I think Bob is just... Like, he was such an asshole. Even from the little bit we saw him on the show, he was such an asshole.
He was.
And he's not really...
He really apologized. I mean, this
like,
is sorry
yeah, he's not
week.
Really willing yet to do the full humbling.
Yeah.
Like, he tried to, like, skip over it.
Start making jokes.
Yeah, girl, you know. Girl, you know I mean that.
Yeah,
girl,
you know, I'm sorry. Come on now.
You're so mad.
You know
you're so mad. Come on, girl.
You're so mad about that.
You look so good in that dress. Like, yeah, you know, he doesn't really... And she... Honestly, I'll say Sheree deserves, for what they went through, she deserves a full, like, I fucked up.
Yo, he had her.
He got them evicted from the fucking house.
Sleeping in a one bedroom with them kids sleeping on air mattresses.
Yeah.
So, like...
like, violating court orders, violating child support. And I'm not saying Sheree, you know, is no angel, because we talked about it all these years ago when it was happening. She was rolling up in court with Birkin bags and shit. Mm-hmm. But it's like, dog, you, like, you didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You didn't give a fuck. Like, you were trying, by all means, to hurt her, even if it meant, like, hurting your kids. Mm-hmm. And that's the worst. So, yeah. It's great that they're in a good place, but I can't fault her for really being like, nigga, really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not, you're not just going to give his ass just because you was nice tonight. You know what I'm saying?
But I do like them as they dynamic. Are now.
I like their dynamic, right, too.
And then let's talk about Miss Cynthia.
Okay.
I can't put my finger on her. I can't put my finger on her. I don't know.
I can't either. I
don't know if I feel like she ain't really give a fuck about Peter, or if she really did give a fuck about Peter, if she was really in marriage, if she wasn't really in it. Like, I can't figure it out.
I
feel like she's wishy-washy is what it is. I feel like people get in her ear.
I said that.
And she'd be like, blah, 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 and she'd be like, oh, okay, let me do this.
I said that.
But then the fact that she's like, she's upset because her and Peter might not have a relationship, her and Leon have. First of all, her and Leon share a child. She and Peter don't.
Exactly.
Like, why? Like, what? And Peter still wants to be in a relationship, so why he gonna hang up under her?
If you ain't trying to do that.
Yeah.
It's almost like she doesn't really want to be the bad guy.
Right, so that's what it is.
So it's like, if we, even though it was her call to get the divorce, and she put all steps forward, and she's doing all this stuff, at the end of it, she still wants Peter to be like, you know, I still love you. I'm just checking in on you, see how you're doing. Like, she wants it almost to be like it was, except no sex.
Right. Right.
That's what it's like. It's like, we got the same relationship, except I don't have to fuck you no more.
Right.
And you know, she said on the show, for whatever reason, she didn't enjoy their sex like that much after a certain point, for whatever reason. So,
right.
She feels like she wants the relationship, but she don't want the intimate part of it. And she's scared that, because there's going to be no intimate part of it, Peter's going to be like, I ain't fucking, like I said, I'm not doing all that other shit if there's no leading to us getting back together. It's really weird. It's really strange, you know? And, again, you know, we're only seeing what's on the show, but Noelle seems very comfortable with it. Like, she's not tripping at all. I don't think she hates Peter. I just think that maybe,
well,
I don't know.
She also seems like she's very self-absorbed.
Very.
Like, wow. Like, I was really surprised.
She seems like, my mom is Cynthia, my dad is Leon, I'm a fly little girl, I'm doing my thing, and it's about me.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because, I think I said this to you guys on text, I don't think I said it in here, I realized that we didn't really see a whole lot of Noelle really interacting with Peter.
No.
And Peter has grown kids. Like, he has a daughter who just got married last year.
He's a grandfather.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we never saw any of Peter's kids
come
into play either. Like, not for dinner.
It felt like they kept it
very separate.
Remember when they went to Jamaica last season or whatever?
Visit family?
That was the first time she had ever been there.
Right.
It's like, how you been married this through all this time and y'all never been down there to visit his family? Like, and Jamaica's not that far from Atlanta. Like, what do you mean it's the first time you've ever met all these people who literally raised him? I was like, really? So I don't know. I felt like they kind of kept the family thing. Maybe her mom. Because even like after a while, again, we only see what's on the show. But like, wasn't like her mom, even her sister, they kind of stopped being on the show too.
But on the low, Mal still stirring up shit. Like, did you peep that somebody was at dinner saying, well, Mal told me you said blah, blah, blah. Mal.
What's up with Mal B?
She miserable. I don't know why though. Like, you got a man. Maybe because he's gone. Maybe she wants a child. Maybe she wants... But she clearly wants to be a cast member.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I got to stir up some shit...
Yeah, she stays just... to stay on here. Just fucking with shit.
But I agree with you about Cynthia. Like, this something just don't... Something just not connecting. I don't know what it is. Something's just not quite right, you know? I don't know what's going to be...
Side note, guys at home, I'm sorry if you hear noises over here. I'm so congested right now.
She got the booger snots.
Yeah, like every once in a while, I can't breathe at all. So I'm drinking a lot of water. I'm trying to flush all this shit.
I know I wanted to mention to you, actually. This is, I'm going to take it back to Thanksgiving because I just thought this was interesting. Uh-huh. So I saw online, there's a girl named LaKendra. I don't know her last name. She's 25 years old.
Okay.
And for Thanksgiving, she offered up three packages.
Uh-oh.
Package one. We are talking. This is what she's going to tell your family if you hire her.
Oh, I saw this on the mail side, too.
Yeah. light hand-holding. I'll lie about where we met. You may only put your arm around my shoulder. Minimum $25 and a to-go plate. Excuse me. Package two. We've been dating for 4 months. I'll eat at that one aunt's house. I'll eat that one aunt's nasty potato salad and say it's good. Boast to your mom how good of a man you are. Minimum $35 and two to-go plates and dessert. Package three. We are serious. I'll make your plate. I'll say Big Mama's pies are better than my grandma's. In parentheses, no, that's a lie. Call you babe or honey, not both, just one.
Right.
Minimum $45, two to-go plates, and a pie and a cake. And she's offering that package up for guys who want to go to the house, or maybe it's, you know, maybe it's guys who are gay, you have a come-out chair or whatever. And this is the package she's offering up. She's hustling. Well, what did you think about that? And like you said, I know there was a couple guys that kind of the same thing.
I don't know if it was real. I think it was a joke.
I took it as it might be real. I mean, I don't know if anybody.
At least they started as jokes. Like the people who first started putting them out there, they started as jokes.
Yeah, maybe she was like, "Oh shit!"
To the point where she was like, "I might be able to actually capitalize."
Because the prices are low, $45.
Yeah, because I was like, "You need to ask for some real money."
It should have been at least $100, $200.
Goddamn day.
Yeah, $45. You don't know, and ain't gonna never see again.
Yeah, get to drinking. You don't know how that food gonna taste. Yeah, that's why I said it started as a joke, because you really.
You don't know.
You don't know.
Thanksgiving. At a place that's not familiar,
right,
is such a scary thing.
That's a lot.
Because you don't know.
Because what the food family members be, come out, the dynamics don't even like.
Exactly.
You know, you have no idea what's
the
about
dynamics.
To
who's mad?
And you don't know how the food gonna taste. You don't know nothing.
You don't know. Should you take? Can you drink? Is they gonna look funny? If you get some alcohol,
is the house gonna smell funny? Is it gonna be clean?
Some kids gonna be
is
running around.
Is somebody gonna push up on you?
You don't know nothing.
What kind of neighborhood you going to?
Uncle so and so gonna grab on you, like
you don't know.
I don't know. But if she did hustle, God bless her. I hope she.
But I will say,
some money.
If people wanted to try to do this and start it ahead of time, because Thanksgiving is just one day, you can't do but so much.
True.
But. This could be something that people could do, but my advice would be, if you find yourself wanting to try to make a little change over the holidays offering services like this, make sure, you know, you put it out there ahead of time. You have time to see your candidates, do a little, you know, at least a little social media background check.
Something, yes. You know what the hell you're walking into. You know. So, I want to mention, you know, Fidel Castro.
Uh-huh.
Longtime dictator and head of... the country of Cuba, passed away at 90 years old, I guess like 4 or 5 days ago.
Yeah, although a lot of people speculate that he was probably dead for a long time.
Which is possible. His brother Raul will be, his brother Raul was running the country anyway, right. But he would still go to Fidel when he could to ask him, you know, advice and stuff like that. But now Raul's going to be the full-time head of the country. And there's been a lot of controversy because... Some leaders, including people say our President Obama, didn't really condemn him enough for being the harsh dictator and, you know, kind of like authoritarian that he was. There's another side of it that people
latch onto. He's very beloved.
He was beloved and benevolent to certain countries, South America, South Africa, rather, Angola. He would constantly send medicine and doctors out when people would have... catastrophes and stuff like that. So, like, he did, you know, I mean, he had 90-some percent literacy rate.
They have free healthcare in Cuba. They're close to, they're far advanced in cancer research.
They're some of the best doctors in the world. Are trained in Cuba.
Right.
So there's multiple sides. Obviously, it's a very complex thing. There's a lot of back and forth on Twitter about whether he's good, whether he's bad. I totally fell back because I was like, obviously, I'm not Cuban.
Well, and that's what
all I can say is I had dated this Cuban gal.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Way in the day. And, you know, we had some discussions about it. And her family fled Cuba and came over. And I think her parents came over in, like, the 60s. Mm-hmm. They had some strong opinions about, you know, I didn't meet her parents and she was telling me about it, you know, and this kind of goes maybe to a Cuban thing or maybe not. So we dated, it was a short period of time because she was going back to Florida. Mm-hmm. and we dated here. And, you know, it got hot and heavy, right? And then she said to me that, okay, so.
Yeah,
I'm veering way off course here, but yeah, I just think it's an interesting
story. I can already tell, like, way.
But it's an interesting story. So it got hot and heavy. So she was going, she had a boyfriend. Her boyfriend was, her family was very prominent in Miami, very wealthy family, Cuban family. Okay. And her boyfriend's family was also very prominent. So from the time they were little, they put them together.
Okay.
Right? So she was very unsure about, at that point, about really wanting to be with old boy because she hadn't really done much or experienced much. So we got hot and heavy. She was in New York working, but I'm telling this long ass story. She was in New York working, but she hadn't done much in New York.
Okay.
Like, she would kind of do a few things by herself, but she didn't really go out. So when we linked up, I started taking her all around the city.
Okay.
So she was like, she started really experiencing New York, and she's like, I'm going to stay. But anyway, she didn't stay. But the point of the story was she told me, I could never bring you home.
Really?
Dead ass. She was like, I could never bring you home. If I brought you home, I would be disowned from my family. I'd be written out the will.
Wow.
And it'd be over. I have to marry him because our families have made a pact that we would get married.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of...
That's kind of like...
And you know what? It's not just a black thing because her cousin, who lived here as well, stayed, dated, and ended up marrying this Jewish cat. Mm-hmm. And it was just as bad.
Really?
Yeah, her family, family was mad as hell that she didn't marry another Cuban.
Another Cuban.
So that Cuban thing, I'm saying all that long story to say that the Cuban thing is very complex. Not just politically, but sociologically, because there are white Cubans, there are black Cubans, there are Cubans that are darker.
White Cubans voted for Trump.
Yes.
And there was a huge Cuban celebration in Little Cuba in Miami.
When he died.
Like, they did like a parade.
Yeah, but I don't know how many black Cubans celebrated his death. They might have. I'm not saying they didn't. I know that when you look at the typical Cuban person you see in Miami is what's known as the white Cuban.
Right.
But there's a whole massive population of Cubans that's our color and darker.
Chrissy Lampkin is Cuban.
I didn't know that. And you know who else is Cuban? I didn't know. Cam's girl, Juju. I thought she was African, but she's Cuban. Yeah. Right. So there's a lot of, you know, dark Cubans out here that, might have a little different view because of the color system, the color thing in Cuba is really serious.
Right.
And I've read, again, I don't know if this is true or not, that one of the many reasons that Castro was not beloved by the quote unquote white Cubans is because he didn't treat black Cubans bad.
Differently.
Yeah. A lot of other ones did, but he didn't.
Right. I mean, let's be clear. Even though they had great healthcare, great education, high resources. Castro was definitely killing niggas. Like,
regularly.
Like, on a regular.
Like, if you tried to even say anything bad, it was an L.
Right. Like, it was, like, definitely your worst, like, your most villainous idea of what dictatorship looks like.
It was him.
Definitely.
They kicking in your door saying, yo, we heard you didn't like what he was talking crazy.
Yeah.
And you're disappearing.
Yes. Like, right now.
Right now.
Right. So that said, though, if that's the kind of regime that you live under and that's all you know, and Cuba has been so isolated, you know, you probably saw the line of, like, thousands of people to go mourn his death.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely probably a little bit of Stockholm Syndrome there. Or just
a lot of it's like, if I don't go, they're going to kick my door in.
right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's no option here.
So it's those kind of things are deep, and I think it's something that Americans don't really understand, even though we think we understand. We might be about to understand that shit in a couple more years, unfortunately.
Exactly.
But we don't, and that's the thing that, not to like turn the Castro conversation into a Trump conversation, the thing that really scares me about how lightly people take, even if Trump himself doesn't realize the damage he's doing, there are people around him who does. Like Bannon.
And they letting it ride.
Yeah, like Bannon wants to just watch shit burn. He said it. He's a Leninist. Yeah. Like, he just wants to dismantle the whole shit, right? And maybe, like, not even to an end, just to see how much he can tweak shit. And just, like, the stuff that this man says as an incoming president, the conflicts of interest that he has, the way he really is so easily pulled in one direction or another about whoever is in his ear. And I think that
we are so complacent as Americans. Like, we think that this shit is just always going to be like this, right?
Yeah.
We don't really understand that shit we see on TV, stuff we see on movies, all that shit, that could be us.
Mm-hmm. That could definitely be us. That could definitely be us. You know what I'm saying? So, like, my thing is, like, with the Trump thing, it's like, what's really scaring me about the Trump thing is that he's not studying.
He's not
looking at briefings.
He's had two briefings.
Yeah.
He's had two security briefings. Instead, he's getting his information from the world leaders he's talking to.
And just looking at the news and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Still watching Fox.
Or CNN. Like Anderson Cooper did a show about the tweets that some of the tweets he put out. And Anderson was like, yo, like, he literally was tweeting live, like, what we were talking about.
Yeah.
He was like, I appreciate him watching, but, like, I don't want the president, like, watching our show. I want him, like, studying.
Right.
Because it's very complex, like,
right,
what's going on around the world in all these foreign territories. And he's looking, and again, I think I said this, maybe I said this on the show before now, but he's really showing firsthand, because he's one of the worst ones, why it's a horrible idea for a businessman to be the president. Not only because of conflicts of interest, because he's looking at the presidency as a CEO job.
Yeah, yeah.
And a CEO thing, like, I can do what I want to do. This is like,
this is my shit.
This is my shit.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the Constitution says, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I say this and then it should happen.
Well,
I don't need to study because you motherfuckers is going to come to me.
I'm going to put people around me who can do the shit for
and
me.
And I'm going to sit back and chill and play golf. And then if some shit happen, call me.
Right.
That you can't do that as the president.
You can't do that as the president. And the problem is, you know, like, some businessmen, maybe you could put in that kind of office. Like, Bloomberg, I think, would take this job seriously, right?
Oh, Bloomberg definitely would take this job seriously.
But so it depends on what kind of person you are. And the thing about Trump, the difference between, like, a Trump and a Bloomberg, even though Bloomberg has companies made after him, I mean, companies named after him, you don't think Bloomberg and see Michael Bloomberg.
He's
not branding himself. Trump is his brand. So his ego and his persona are so intertwined with his mm-hmm. business, especially now that we've had, like, the suits and Miss Universe and The Apprentice mm-hmm. and Trump Steaks and Trump University and Trump mm-hmm. this and Trump that. His persona is so intertwined with his brand. He's never given clear thought to what it's going to mean to run this country. And we have talked about this. Like, right now, Trump is about to go on what's called a thank you tour.
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
No, man? Let me tell you what this is. What this is that Trump is missing the rallies.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
He's missing the instant gratification, which is, and I could tell, I knew this was going to happen because when he started tweeting reckless again, I was like, he's bored. He's reckless. He's like, fuck all these meetings and shit.
Yeah,
like,
fuck all these briefings. I'm not reading nothing.
I'm like, I need the people. I want to be around the people.
And Kellyanne and them, they doing their shit, and it's almost like having a child. It's like, okay, we'll let you do a couple rallies.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you'll do a couple rallies.
And you'll stop tweeting.
Right. You'll come back and read this shit. Okay, we'll set up a couple rallies for you. Right. And all he again, like a child, he's like, yeah, I'm going to a rally. I'm going to a rally. Like, that's all he's thinking about.
So what happens, right, after on January 21st and beyond? Because as soon as he gets in office, anybody, whoever it is, the minute the president gets in office, no matter how great your support base, the criticisms come hot and heavy.
Right away.
Because now you got the job. So what happens when this motherfucker sit behind the desk and it's, we need to do this, we need to do this, you haven't done this, you haven't done this, why the people asking for this, the constituents asking for this, blah, blah, blah. He's going to leave the day-to-day job and go tour the country to fucking do rallies?
Yes, that's what he's going to do. Matter of fact, you know, a couple weeks ago, or last week, whatever, he had a meeting with the press.
Yeah.
And that, I'm telling you what that meeting was. That was some, I'm punking y'all. Like, the press is in a weird space because Trump is, again, such a child that he had him coming in. He's like, I don't like the way he's, you took
these
pictures.
They're worried about access.
Exactly. They know that. He's like, yo, if you want access, then you have to cover me this way. I watched.
But that's so problematic.
No, it's my problematic.
Because the whole point of
that means you can't criticize.
Right, but
if you criticize, he won't fuck with you.
The whole point of the press
is to keep you in check.
It's to check politicians, really.
Exactly.
It's to check government. It's to check the way the country is run.
But his thing is like, if you talk crazy about me, No, he hasn't done a press conference, and the reason they don't have him do a press conference is simple. It's because they know he don't know shit.
Right.
And if they put him up there, it's not no what's it called?
No debates.
No, not debates. The shit that you read.
Oh, teleprompters. Okay, yeah.
So if you put him up in front of a press conference and the press starts firing real questions at him, and it's gonna be great.
Right.
He's gonna do that shit. They're gonna tear him apart.
Right.
Because he's not studying, and they start asking him deep questions. So what's your real goal with China? What's really gonna happen in Syria?
Right.
What are you really gonna do in Myanmar or whatever?
Even with his conversations with the press last week, the conversation he had with multiple outlets was off the record.
Yeah.
Some stuff got leaked. The conversation he had with the New York Times, they forced him. They had one part that was off the record, one part that was on the record. But even the stuff he said in the on the record part, it's like you have no idea what you're saying.
Nothing.
Like none. And even when they like pressed him on the conflict of interest stuff, he was like, "Well, I mean, as the president, I can't have conflict of interest."
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, that's true, but you shouldn't say that. Like you shouldn't say that.
Well, that's actually not true. Like I mean,
well, by law, the president legally has no conflict of interest. But and that's the thing, right? This is what I've been kind of saying to people. This is what's so scary about the Trump presidency. People keep saying, like I said before, people think this democracy shit is just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So people keep saying, oh, but checks and balances. There's not like there's some fucking flag that goes up as soon as he does something. Like, it takes a lot to get a Congress to impeach a president, and you have to go through proceedings, and you have to do the whole thing. A sitting president cannot serve jail time. You know, it just happened during the Clinton administration that a lawsuit can be brought against the sitting president.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little different. But it's not that simple. Like, Congress actually has to get to the point where they're like, okay, we want to impeach him, and he has a Republican House and Senate, right?
Yeah, so they're probably not going to do that.
So that's that. But then secondly, so much of the office of the presidency is based on the person who assumes that office following certain traditions
and protocol
voluntarily. Like, you legally don't have to put your assets in a blind trust, but people do it to avoid any appearance of conflict of interest. They do it to preserve, you know, you don't legally have to have the press corps follow you, but presidents do it because the whole point is transparency, right? He's shutting all that shit off. And legally there's really not much that can be done about it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And those are the little things that are so important. People are like, well, what does it matter if the press knows where he's eating dinner? Those are the things that determine how the office of the president is perceived by the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we call him the leader of the free world. Like, we're the biggest superpower, right? Because there's a certain amount of dignity and respect that's always gone with this office. And this nigga's about to throw the shit out the window.
And all he's doing as far as filling his cabinet is literally just putting his boys on.
Yeah.
Like, you, his boys who are rich, you want a job, you got it, B. Ben Carson, you was faithful to me.
Yeah, I'm
so
you going to put you in urban development.
The coon dude from Milwaukee with the crazy goatee, the black dude.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Well, the only thing that gives me some solace is that there's no way some of these motherfuckers are passing confirmation.
Yeah, I hope not.
There's no way. Like, your man, what's his name? Sheriff Clark. As the director of Homeland Security? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
He'll have martial law moving so quick, man.
Holy shit. So I'm just saying, like, a lot of y'all are taking the shit we got going on here in the country for granted. Like, you're like, oh, but, you know, the legislature is ineffective. And I saw somebody say today, we've never really seen a Congress be effective, and we've never seen effective, you know, Democratic rule. Okay, you about to see what the difference is in about 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's about to be
terrible.
So
not nice at all. Yeah.
Please strap on to your seats. And God bless. I just wanted to say peace to all the people of the who got injured in the Ohio State, injured and killed in the Ohio State massacre. It's funny because that story went away fast.
It did. I mean, I think there's a couple of things. It was it just happened the day before yesterday.
I know, but it's already in the news.
I think it was a stabbing, not a shooting.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like there's the, oh, we went to
the
apartment
and
found the guns.
And all this,
it's not like the, oh, we went to the apartment, found a cache of guns, or, oh, there was this whole, like, you know, missive statement online, or
oh, there was this and that. You know, the dude had already said clearly what his motive was. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, right? Because he didn't declare any allegiance to ISIS or anything like that. He literally was saying, like, I'm doing this in retribution. Basically, he said, I'm doing this in retribution for, like, all the anti-Muslim, all the anti-Muslim sentiment. Like, I feel like I can't even pray on campus. I feel like I can't, you know, do whatever. So I just think there's not a meaty enough story there. And I actually am surprised that there hasn't been more from the alt-right. Because I was like, that's all we need is for this to have been, you know,
a Muslim thing.
But I think that they're so distracted. They're distracted by the fact that their boy is putting, you know, Wilding. Goldman Sachs, starting bench up in there. They're finally starting to realize, like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Maybe we fucked up. That's delicious to see.
Yeah. So.
But yeah.
Let's round this turkey up with Insecure, because this is going to be a good conversation. So we had the finale of Insecure this week. It's been a great show. Only 8 episodes.
Was it only 8?
It was only eight.
Are you sure?
8 episodes. 8 shows. And in 8 shows, they did a lot. You know, the arc of the show was very interesting from where it started to where it ended, as most shows do. Mm-hmm. You know, the first show was very, to me, kind of more comedic.
Yep.
You know?
And then it kind of got a little deeper.
And then it got a little deeper as it went on, and then a little deeper, and obviously there was some, you know, a lot of twists and turns and bumps in the road, and then by, and definitely like some funny shit along the way, but by the last episode, I almost like dark humor. There was definitely humor there, but it wasn't funny. It was funny, but it wasn't funny.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm assuming that everybody who listens to this watches, and if you didn't
just stop
spoiler
listening.
Alerts, exactly. Yeah. So, the last episode goes, Issa and Lawrence have broken up.
Issa's stalking Lawrence.
Issa's stalking Lawrence. Lawrence has moved out. He's staying in his boy's crib. I forget his boy's name.
Chad.
Lawrence has started his new gig. Mm-hmm. Seems to be very happy in the gig, into it, you know. Issa shows up at
let's also keep in mind, like, Issa and Lawrence only been broken up like 3 days.
Yeah.
Between one episode and the next episode. So it's not like there's been this really huge passage of time. It's been less than a week. But go ahead.
Yeah. So Issa shows up
at the job,
trying to make jokes. Lawrence, kind of, you know, almost very interesting that you say that, because almost like
Daniel
Bobish. Bob and Shreyish.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're like,
she's trying
to apologize, but not really, and just trying to make it funny. So hoping the funny, she'll make you laugh, and it'll make it kind of go away without really addressing what really happened.
Even as she was calling him, she was saying, "I'm sorry," but it's also really hard to, like, you're never really gonna be able to give an apology for fucking somebody else while you're in a relationship that the other person's gonna be happy with. Like, there's not, unless you're just really to really be on the floor and grovel, like.
Unless you're gonna be like, Lord,
and she's just kind of like, I fucked up, you know, you're like, damn right, you fucked up,
exactly. Call me, you know what I'm saying,
right? So, I mean, he's telling her, like, stop fucking calling me, trying to reach out to me, and then he's talking to his boy. And this is so, I've been riding with Lawrence, like, I didn't get a chance to tell our listeners, I told you kind of. So, I ran into 2 weeks ago, I ran into,
Jay Ellis.
Oh my God, what is his name? Jay Ellis in LA. And I met Jay Ellis once before, but I forgot until after this happened. So I literally stopped him. I put my hand on his shoulder and I was like, yo, Issa don't need to do you like that. Now, this is like before the last 2 episodes.
Oh, wow.
This was before, like, this, but I knew, like, something was going to happen with Daniel at the fundraiser or whatever. But this is before the last 2 episodes. I'm like, Issa ain't got to be doing you like that, dog. She ain't shit. He's like, and he let me have a whole conversation with him. Like,
I'm sure it happens to him every time he walks out
the
door.
He was like, she ain't shit. She ain't gonna be shit. She ain't never gonna be shit. You know? So we had a whole thing. And I was like, yo, when Tasha came in, she had the titties up. He was like, I know. You know? So we were like, we had a whole conversation. And he was like, wait till you see the last couple of episodes, you know? And then, like, I talked to him as Jay, but he let me have, like, a 7-minute conversation.
And I'm sure he's at this point.
Yeah.
Anytime he walks outside publicly, he's Lawrence.
He's probably getting dapped. Niggas buying him drinks.
Oh, his life is, you know, golden. My
God, crazy. Golden. So
let me ask this question. Right. So,
Let me tell you this one thing. Wait, keep your thought.
The one thing that Jay said that was really interesting, and that I think is really interesting in the context of the conversation of the finale, is like, this is one of the first times where you see a show about young people, not just even black people, just like young single people out there, where the dudes are for the most part trying to do right.
And the women
are out there being like,
yeah. And that's the thing about this show that I've talked about it at my job literally every day since Monday. And I'm sure we'll talk about it again tomorrow and Friday. But what's interesting about this show is just that. And so stereotypically, everything that Issa's doing would be a male character.
Right. Right.
And everything that Lawrence is going through and like eating it and taking it and trying to figure it out and trying to get his shit together. And even though he's trying to get his shit together, not being treated the way they should is stereotypically a woman's character. Right. So the fact that this basically world is upside down is, I think, what throws a lot of women off more than dudes on Twitter and stuff, because they can't wrap their mind, because it's usually so much the other way that it's very easy.
Right.
So that's why, I think that's why when Lawrence got with Tasha, there was a lot, some women were like, he's a fuckboy now, and he's fucking because they can't wrap their mind around that he's not doing anything wrong.
And like there were some women who were like, oh, I can't believe he did that. But even most of the women I saw were like, yeah, I can't really be. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah.
And he's not a fuckboy, and he didn't. Again, the difference between him and Issa is Issa fucked Daniel and literally, like, came home and sat next to this nigga and, you know, didn't. And he tried to have sex with her. She was playing games.
Yep.
Lawrence left.
Well, they were broke up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he left the house.
Up. I mean,
but anyway, let's go back.
Okay, so a couple things. Where Lawrence lost me, because I said, I like to say, I've been riding with Lawrence for the past few, like, the day, like, the episode, as soon as Issa busted it open on that studio couch, she lost me. I was like, no, I was like, I really want to root for you, but I can't, because God damn it. In the studio,
And I'm telling you, like, some nigga shit, they blazed raw too.
Yeah, I might have been able to, like, if y'all actually been in the crib, whatever, I might be like, oh damn, girl. But like, in the studio, right after you and your man go through this whole shit, and I'm like, yo, we really gonna work this out. Like, has she done it that night after the club?
Yeah.
When she did the Broken Pussy song, has she done another one? I would be like, all right, girl.
But that's why they wrote it that way, because they knew if she would have fucked Daniel tonight, and when she saw him at the Broken Pussy spot,
we would have been on their side.
You would have gave her the pass.
Yeah,
because they would have kind of broken up and did it. It was a one night thing, but again, the fact that, you know, she didn't do it that night, but she kept Daniel around. She kept finding reasons to have him around. Like, come to career
day. She kept finding reasons to have him around, but also he kept coming around and she didn't shut it down.
Well, that too.
Yeah, and this is where I always have this saying with people. When you know somebody's trying to come at you for you, whatever, a lot of people be like, yeah, but I'm not encouraging it, but you're not discouraging it. Like, exactly. If you're not discouraging it, same shit. Like,
and that's what Molly thing was to her the whole time. Like, why is this nigga career day? Right. Like, why are you talking to this nigga about taking a video down?
Exactly.
Like, why are you still, like, engaging with this dude when you know where this could probably lead?
Exactly.
So
where Lawrence lost me was talking to his boy Chad and being like, I don't want to say I got my life together for this girl, but I got my life together for this girl. Okay, Negroes, get your life together for yourself. Like, don't be mad your shit is together. Like, literally,
he
wasn't working on. He wasn't working on his app. A lot of people on Twitter were like, oh, she, you know, he was just trying to be an entrepreneur and she was frustrated. No, when we meet Lawrence and Issa, he's not even working on his app. Like, ain't even got a lineup. The first episode, it's her birthday, and he's like, yo, do you mind if we just stay in instead of go out? Like, she comes home, she's like, yeah, where are we going? What are we doing? That's why she got frustrated and went out to the club.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
She definitely gave him some wind beneath his wings to get himself together.
Right.
But he did. He took a job he didn't want to take.
He's newly together. Let's also say that. Okay. He's newly together. Like, he just got it together last week.
But you know what? He took a job he didn't want to take.
He wanted it.
He just wanted also the best made him job.
Think, No, not. Oh, yeah, he took the Best Buy job
that he wanted to take. He started, maybe you saw he started jogging, started working out, getting his body together. He started cooking for her.
Right.
He, you know, he started engaging a lot more with her. Yep. Like, how was your day? Like, for real, right. Not just to say it. Like, really wanted to know. He obviously helped get the video down. He was with his suit on at the fundraiser. Yep. Like, you know, he was
working.
All
he was
the
doing
way
it.
In.
Yeah, he was in. I mean, the thing I think.
Try to buy. This is the part that to me that
The ring.
Yes, keeps kind of getting like mixed, lost in the mix. I'm thinking a lot of places. Yo, this nigga was trying. He was gonna get engaged to her.
Yeah, he was right. Like
he
let's
was
move
dead
forward.
Ass.
Yeah,
like people keep at like that. Just keeps getting kind of lost in the conversation.
I mean, the thing.
And she ran away.
The thing about Issa is that. And again, this is another thing where I forget how young they're supposed to be. They're all supposed to be 29, 30.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, all these people are like in their
early 30s.
So
mm-hmm.
early to mids. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Issa, if Issa had just said to Daniel the next day, look, shorty, we did what we did. I know we got history. I'm really trying to work this out with my man. Like, I gotta dead it. None of this shit would happen.
The fact that she wouldn't even
you won't even text. You dodge a phone call. The only reason the nigga showed up there, like he said, he was like, I want you to look me in my face and tell me why you acting like this. I look like you could have avoided all, like,
a nigga that you got long history with.
Yeah, you could have avoided all this shit. Just send, even if you can't have the conversation face to face, send a text like, look, I'm really trying to work this out with my man. Last night was a mistake. Like, my bad. We still peoples, but like, I can't. And you wouldn't be going through all of this shit. So that's your bad.
I definitely think that's another kind of point that's not fully grasped. Is like her, when you listen to her and Daniel's conversation, they've known each other since maybe like junior high school.
Yeah.
Like they've known each other a long, long ass time. It wasn't like they just met a couple years ago.
Right.
So that's why he really felt like, yo, I've known you for like 15 years.
Like, what you doing?
Like, what are you doing?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And even if it was just a blaze, it's like, we still people. Like,
exactly, because I've known you since, like, I was a snide nose kid, and so were you. And again, what was I about to say?
Something about how Issa handled the thing?
No, someone, her and Daniel. Oh, I was going to say, with the role reversal, even that, in most situations, when Issa's like, you was just an itch I need to scratch, you need to get out of here. That's a guy always saying those lines and hurting a girl, and a girl running away like,
right.
But it reversed where he was the one like crushed that she talked to him that way.
Yeah.
And he was like, she was like, whatever, nigga, like, I'm glad you're gone. So it's so much role reversal here, subtle role reversal that I think is kind of gets missed. So, but anyway, so she, you know, they go out to the strip club. They're, you know, talking shit about women. First of all, I have to say, I never liked those type of niggas.
Who just go to the strip club and talk about what women don't do?
The strip club is fine.
Right.
I don't like the niggas who's always like, yeah, she got to suck my dick and she got to It's like, you niggas, that sounds dumb.
Right.
Like, you niggas, like those guys, a lot of those guys to me, obviously there's issues with their masculinity and whatever, what they were taught. Mm-hmm. But also a lot of those guys, I feel like a lot of those guys don't necessarily like women.
Women,
They like pussy.
Yeah.
And head.
Right.
And they deal what they got to deal with so they can get pussy and head. And then maybe if they end up with a girl and they have children.
And somebody to keep the house.
And they have children, then they like their kids and they, you know, she takes keep the house clean and she washes my shit. But they don't necessarily like
women. The companionship of women.
They don't like women. They don't like or respect women. So when I hear dudes have those conversations, I'm like, you don't like chicks really, dude. And I'm not saying you're gay. But you just don't like...
Like, they don't think women are funny. They don't want to have conversations.
They don't think women have any real value except fucking, keeping my shit clean, and taking
cooking.
Care of my kids.
Yeah.
That's it. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, they go to the strip club, and, you know, this beautiful stripper, Lawrence goes to the back room
Lawrence thinks they make a connection.
He's
making googly eyes
exactly.
at him.
He's like, yo, I might take her out to the movies or some shit.
Like, she gives him the price list.
Exactly. And then, you know, she gives him the price list, and he's like... What? Like,
and 5 minutes later, he's calling Issa.
Issa.
I missed
now, this is the part that at the job, we've had huge, not controversies, might not be the right term, but huge debates about. When he calls the Issa call,
mm-hmm.
is he calling her because he does want to get back to her? I've heard a few theories. I've heard people say they think that he wanted to get back with her when he first called her, but then something changed because she didn't really say much. Right. She's just like, "How you doing? Like, I miss you too."
Well, I can't really be mad at that because she didn't know what to say because she's been calling him. She's been leaving him messages. Her last conversation was, "Stop fucking calling me." So when he calls her, she's kind of like,
"What's up?"
She's waiting for him to say something. Some she said it all.
But then also I saw someone online say they think he called Issa to find out where she was.
I don't think
to know
that.
How much time she had to get his shit out of the house.
I don't think that because Issa offered him the house. She's the one who said, "I'm away for the weekend. If you want to come to the house."
But you think he took that as, "Oh, bet I can go get my shit."
When did he make the decision to take his stuff out of the house until either he was on his way over to the house or until he walked in the house? I actually think it might even happen when he walked in the house because he kind of looked around.
Like, I don't know if he sighed heavily.
Yet. Yeah, like it might have been too heavy. It might have been too many memories. Here's what I think. The call from the strip club, when you've been with somebody for a long time and you first break up, that's a really hard period, right? That call from the strip club was literally just like, "Yo, if this is single life out here, I just miss my girl." Like, it was that, right? It didn't necessarily mean more than that. I miss my girl. And exactly what he said. All right, maybe we can talk.
Let's cut you off. Because I was going to get to that.
Right.
Because this has been another point of contention. So he says, "We can talk Monday."
Well, he said, "We can talk when you get back."
On Monday.
Did he say Monday?
He said Monday. Because he was coming back from the weekend.
Right.
So he said, "We can talk Monday." Now.
Issa jumped out the window.
She totally jumped out the window and came back that night when he said Monday. But was he saying Monday to talk about working it out? Or was he saying talking Monday to talk about breaking up?
I just think he meant talk. That's the thing.
Neither or.
Yeah, because I've been here. I've been in that, like, just broke up. You really don't know if you can work it out. You really don't know if you want to work it out. You really don't know if it's a good idea to work it out. But you haven't... Like, they never did talk about it.
They never said we broke up.
Well, but they just never talked about it, period. He blew up and left. He left. They haven't talked. So that could have just been, "Okay, we can talk." Okay. Like, I'm sure he's torn. He might not even know if he wants to get back together or if he doesn't, right? Okay. Like, he's in limbo. He probably, if you ask him at 5 o'clock, he might be like, "Fuck her." You ask him at 7 o'clock, he might be like, "But I still love her." So he doesn't even know what he wants to do. So I think his thing is like, at that point, when this stripper just sat here and told me I need to go pull, you know, money out of the ATM, I'm really realizing, like, shit, do I really want to be out here like this? Okay, I love my girl. Maybe I just want to see her. I miss her. Okay, maybe we can talk. But no promises behind that, right?
Issa took it as good money.
We good money. And I've been on that side, too. Like, "Oh, shit, he wants to talk. Like, let's go." And she jumped out, and I knew as soon as that happened, I was like, "Oh, this isn't going to end well." So she jumps out the window, like,
wait, hold on. Let's talk a little bit about the pool scene. Well, let's go a little bit about the girl side, because we haven't.
So they go to Malibu,
and they go to Malibu. But before that, they all four of them go to Malibu because it's, I forget my girl's
what's her name? Kelly's
birthday.
Which, I like Kelly, but I also wish Kelly wasn't the stereotypical loud, fat black girl. Like, why she gotta be loud, fat black girl?
We know Kelly.
But she's such a stereotype.
But we know her.
We do. But she's such a stereotype.
But we know her. That stereotype is based in, we know her literally.
Yeah.
Like, we know that girl.
Yeah.
The loud girl, kind of heavy set, always talk about sex. Like, we drunk. We know her.
Right.
But anyway, so they go to Malibu for the weekend. Molly and Issa are still, like, not fucking with each other. Molly's not fucking with Issa at all. Again, and Issa leaves it kind of gray. Doesn't necessarily apologize. Doesn't really.
Yeah, calls her earlier and be like, "Bitch, you still mad?"
Yeah, and she's like, basically like, "Yeah, I am. Yeah, like, it's not a joke." So they go to Malibu for the weekend.
Just on the side, Molly's anger is that Issa weren't justified at the level where she was angry with her. But again, Issa got to deal with some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they go up there to Malibu for the weekend, Kelly's birthday. They go to some club up there. Molly's like, "You know what? If I'm a hoe, then I'm going to be a full-on hoe."
Right.
But she meets this young boy in the club. They
takes him back to the house. Turns
him down, like, right on the dance floor. Yeah. They having shots on shit. Takes him back to the house. Fucks the niggas' socks off.
Yeah.
You know, walks him out the house in the morning. Issa's looking at her like, "Damn, like you really just doing this shit, right?" Then later on in that thing, they go to a... wine tasting thing, and they're still not really talking. And then right. later on, they go, they're sitting in the hot tub, and then Kelly and
whoever, Tiffany, Tiffany,
get on Molly about the same things that Issa was saying,
right?
But in a, to me,
in a meaner way,
even meaner than than Issa. Issa sticks up for Molly, gets on Kelly and Tiffany for their bullshit.
It Tiffany calls Issa out
About not having, not telling him she broke up with Lawrence.
Right.
Turns into a whole thing. That's when Lawrence calls.
Right.
And then said she jumps out the pool.
Right.
Washes off. She's like, I gotta go out to LA tonight.
She's like, I gotta go to LA tonight because Lawrence wants to talk. So in the call, she also tells Lawrence, because Lawrence is sleeping on Chad's couch. She's like, I'm away for the weekend. Mm-hmm. The house is cool. So here's the first mistake Issa was making, and I get it, but sometimes you just gotta let some motherfuckers have some space. You gotta let them process.
She was like, "Oh, it's good." And that's the thing that irked me about Issa. With and she does this throughout the series.
That she wants shit on her terms.
And she's like, "Oh, we good money now,
right?"
Like, "Oh, Lawrence called me. I'm going home. We straight."
I don't think she thought they were straight. I think she was like, "Oh my god, he wants to talk. I gotta go right now. I gotta go right now and fix this." I don't think she thought it was gonna be all good, but she was very much like, "This is the first crack of the door there's been,
to you know, all together. This time,
like, I need to go, like, he's gonna be at my house, I need to go."
Yeah.
So I knew that shit was not going to play well.
Her and Molly drive back from Malibu to South Central, which is a long-ass drive.
Right.
It's probably 2 hours.
Right.
You know,
And I know what she's thinking. She's thinking she's gonna get home, he's gonna have come back to the apartment, he's gonna realize how much he missed it there.
I missed you.
Realize how comfortable it is.
They'll have sex.
And she's gonna go in. It's gonna be all love. Yeah. Right.
They'll drink some wine. They'll have right. sex. They'll cry. They'll talk about it. The right. next day, they'll talk about it some more. They'll go out to brunch. They'll talk right. about it some more. And then, you know, whatever. So Molly, and in that point, Molly and her make up right. on the ride back. And she does finally tell Molly, you know, you're my best friend. And I'm right. you know, fucked up by it. And they cool.
But Molly is also like, you actually told me some truth.
Yes. Yeah. Molly's like, maybe I do need therapy. Like,
yeah. And Molly does need therapy.
I'm a fucking mess. I got issues and I need to work it out. So Issa walks in the house.
She sees the keys
on the counter.
She's
like,
excited.
Gives a little smile, like, oh, he's making my nigga home. She walks in the house. This is well done, actually. Yeah. She walks in the house, like, she looks in the bedroom and looks around and immediately is like, something's not right. But she doesn't, it's not processing.
So his side of the bed, pillow gone. Which was so petty.
And looked like comforter taken off the bed. Wasn't the sheets there?
Oh, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if they had a comforter before, though. The side table on his side of the bed, bare.
Bare.
She turns and looks in the closet. Just the Best Buy shirt.
Nothing hanging there but a Best Buy shirt. And she realizes at that point, Lawrence bounced.
And first of all, kudos to Lawrence, because let me tell you, a nigga who can't ever take all this shit nowhere without a moving van is like, I can't even fathom, like, I'm just moving out.
Word.
I'm just moving out of the apartment.
About that too. I was like,
I'm just gonna come get my shit.
A couple bags of shit. Like, damn, nigga.
Like, he walked in with this little gym bag.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, how you get, my toiletries ain't fit in that shit.
So Issa's standing there stunned as you could see her face, you know, which means her brain processing.
Because she had, because Issa is the type, with Issa's imagination,
yeah.
And I actually told somebody, a lot of people won't remember this reference, but Issa kind of, parts of Issa's thing reminded me of the black, what was the lawyer show with Callista Flockhart?
Oh, Alec McBeal.
Yeah, like the way she would build shit up in her imagination. We already know Issa had like this whole thing played out. She heard the whole conversation in her head.
She knew.
And she knew exactly how it was going to go, and that just cracked her whole shit.
Yeah, so she's sitting there stunned like,
right.
What the fuck is going on?
Smash cut to
El Boogie.
Tasha moaning, groaning,
pan back
to Lawrence, tearing it up. So this is where you and I going to fight. Because
that scene was...
No, it was really well done.
I'm like, are they not fucking?
Yeah, it definitely looked like they were really fucking.
They're fucking,
like,
right?
He's pulling her hair.
She got the toes pointed, like.
Yeah. It definitely looked like they were really fucking.
And Tasha's a bad motherfucker, too.
Ooh. So.
Yeesh.
So.
Lord.
Here's been the prevailing train of thought, and I know yours is different.
As it always is.
Is that, you know, couple things.
A, that was an angry fuck. He needs to feel like he got even with Issa, right?
Okay.
Two, he was primed to either get some head or get some ass from the strip club. He definitely wasn't paying 400 bones.
Mm-hmm.
And after kind of making this decision after going to Issa's house, he's guilt-free about, all right, let me call up Tasha, because I know she ready. Like, mm-hmm. I know she wants
and
it.
And we're not together, me and
right.
Issa.
So, like I can call Tasha, right? And that it was just also just like an angry fuck, a hurt fuck. And that, because that wasn't, like, that was really just like, I'm just trying to tear this shit out the frame. There wasn't no love making. There wasn't no tenderness. There wasn't
Tasha's,
no shit in
that. Tasha's throwing it back, though.
Trying to tear it out the frame.
Tasha was handling her business, though.
And the other prevailing train of thought is that definitely Tasha thinks, I mean, we're making up a lot of assumptions about character that we don't have that much development on, but that Tasha is definitely going to get up the next morning, like,
oh, she making breakfast.
Like, making breakfast, buying a dress to wear to Chad's wedding, like, telling her mom about him, like, the whole shit, where Lauren's going to be like, yeah, so, I'm going to call you later, blah, blah. But you think they're going to get together.
Yes, I do. And I've said this theory many times this last week. I think, again, I try to think about all the subtle things throughout the show that, in a lot of the different situations in the characters. So, Tasha... the first time we see Tasha is at the, when he goes to the bank. He's very down and depressed at this point. And he tells her, I forget exactly what he says, but he tells her something that basically is like, yeah, I'm not doing good. Oh, it was a job. He thought he had a job and he lost it. He interviewed, that's what he's doing with the headhunter. And he was trying to get a job.
She
was like, yeah, but you still got a little savings. You all right? You're a good black man. I hear blah, 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 blah. And, but previous to that, he's in the bank in the line, and there's a guy behind him. And then so there's Tasha and another teller.
And
so
he
the
waits
next
for
teller,
Tasha.
Yes, which just tells you they have a little bank relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they know each other from the bank.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Only from the bank, but they definitely talk.
Right.
They talk because he was like, go ahead, man, because I'm waiting for her.
Right.
So then next time we see Tasha is.
She finds him in the food court.
Yes, when he's working at Best Buy. And she just, you know, plops on down, pulls a little hot sauce out, and does a little Beyonce to show that she's like this hood girl who's trying to make it, you know?
Oh, yeah. She says she's going to community college, and she takes some generic major, and he talks about his app, and she's really excited.
Yeah, and
she
says she
really
she's studying
it.
Stocks and stuff because she wants to, her plan is to be a bank manager.
Right.
Which, you know, for the hood girl to be running Chase Bank is, you know, that's a good-ass job.
Yeah.
So, you say he tells about the app, and she encourages him, well, you got a real app. You got to see that through. You got to, like, don't stop. Like, you know, you got to keep going. Then the next time we see Tasha's, obviously, when she has her titties on and all that, and she tracks him down at the Best Buy.
To invite him to, like, the equivalent of Chili's.
Jalapeno Poppers.
Yeah.
And margaritas.
Right.
But, again, wasn't coming into the Best Buy. Like, a lot of girls would be like, oh, you work here? Like, she's just like, he has to put someone on screen.
Well, also because they work in the same complex.
And she's like, oh, this is dope. You need to do this at the bank. Like,
she's always,
my point to all of this is she always has a word of encouragement. It seems like a sincere word of encouragement. Let me finish my point now. So he definitely went to Tasha because he wanted some ass.
Yes.
He knew the ass was going to be popping.
Yes.
He knew it was going to be no muss, no fuss, no drama. But I think that next season we're going to see them early in the season still together. Not in that raggedy-ass apartment. I think he'll be either working at this company or by that point maybe into his app. I think we're going to see Lawrence, like, looking like money. Like looking like he's doing his thing. Like, probably got a new little ride, you know, fresh cut. And I think Tasha will be the bank manager.
You must think this shit is going to skip way far ahead. They're not going to skip that far ahead.
It'll probably skip, like, a year.
I don't think we're gonna skip that far ahead.
I think Tasha will be the bank
manager.
But even
in a year, Tasha's not gonna go from teller to bank manager.
Well, she's studying. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. I think Tasha's gonna be doing well, and I think they're gonna be together and happy.
Okay,
I think Tasha gives a lot of stuff.
I think that's a reach. I don't think we're gonna skip that far ahead.
Okay.
B, I think the important thing to remember is that Tasha, all the encouragement that Tasha was giving him was very superficial. She knows very little about him in real life. She understands very little about what he actually does. She knows that he was cashing unemployment checks. She knows that he's a good-looking black man who got a little bit of money in the bank and that he's smart. This is what Tasha knows about him.
What else is there to know?
She doesn't actually know, like, his interests or what he does, like, you know, or how the app shit works or, like, she doesn't know any of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that said, when he's at that low point, he ain't even got a lineup, and, you know, the recruiter is telling him that he's overqualified for jobs that he's going for and all of that shit, mm-hmm. and his girl is giving him a hard time. Those very basic affirmations are enough to lift. Once you're on the right track and you feel a little more steady about your shit, which he does right now,
mm-hmm.
the lack of substance will start to grate.
Well, see, this is the
because
thing.
Because it'll kind of be like, yeah, I know I'm a good black man. Yeah, I know. Okay, you told me that. Like, then you want to start, then you want to have a conversation. You have it. And I'm not saying they don't have that. I'm just saying there's nothing to show me they do have that.
I feel like so many of you gals, and maybe I'm reaching now.
The fact that you just started this with you gals is killing me.
Because I've had this conversation before. I think that there might be a little more to Tasha than we've seen. No, I'm saying, I think she has some substance.
What I literally just said was, I'm not saying they don't, I'm saying we haven't seen enough to know that they do, which is why I'm saying that you're reaching. Because we actually don't know what they're going to have together either way, right? And the other thing is that at the end of the day, this fucking story...
Yeah.
It's not about Lawrence and Tasha.
Lawrence and Tasha are going to stay together for the rest of the series. That's not what I said. I said I think at the beginning of next season, they will be together. Then it will go on a path and maybe they won't stay together.
I also don't think... Lawrence also doesn't strike me as the type of character who, as Sean would say, is fucking for shelter. He has his boy to stay with or whatever have you. I do think that he might date Tasha because he is not a fuck him and leave him type of dude. And because, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't work in the same complex with her. He doesn't do all that shit. There's no obligation to, like, see her or run into her. I don't think they're going to be a couple. I think that maybe at the beginning of the season we'll see some conflict there because it'll be interesting. I don't think we're going to open the season and it's like, fucking Lawrence and Tasha, you know, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see it. And most people that I've been talking to about it don't think it's.
Oh, nobody sees this with me.
Nor do I think he and Issa are getting back together immediately too. I think he's.
Oh, they're definitely. Oh no,
might see. I actually think that Tasha fuck, because Tasha was set up to be Issa's foil. Like she was set up to be the opposite. She was set up to be the person that would encourage him and be whatever while Issa was doing whatever fuck Issa was doing. I actually think, somebody else said this, that scene with Tasha was actually the scene of Lawrence being like, I'm about to be out here. So we might actually see him running through bitches for a minute. Because since Issa been together for a minute.
Girl, Marsha from my job said she thinks that Linda Lawrence going to be blazing mad shit.
Right.
I don't think so. I think that, and that was another thing. A lot of girls, because they was mad, was like, he just fucking for shelter. I'm like, yo. He, first of all, Tasha said, if you remember, that he has some money in the bank,
yes.
and he's working at this new job, which I think is paying him a pretty good salary.
Right.
So he can get an apartment. Like, he fucked that night, because he had nowhere to go that night.
Right.
But it's not like he needs to stay in the hood now. Like, next season we'll see him.
I mean, he had somewhere to go. He could have stayed in the apartment. He could have gone back to Chaz. He was fucking that night because he wanted to fuck.
Yeah, but I think that next season we'll see him in his own place.
I do think we'll see him in his own place.
Which will be a nice place. And I think Tasha, maybe they won't be living together, but I think Tasha will be in his life in a pretty strong capacity. Again, I don't think it'll end the season that way, but I think there's going to be some real Tasha and Lawrence moments. And, you know, for the first 2 to 3 episodes, it's going to be some Tasha and Lawrence moments. Like, them really, like, chilling together. Like, her, like, bringing him to the cookout and him playing dominoes. I think he's going to be that. Like, yo, I kind of like this chick. This is cool. Because she's going to... Because the thing about a girl like Tasha... I mean, when I was dating or whatever. Right. The thing about girls like Tasha, if they know how to treat a nigga.
Right.
It's hard to sometimes walk away from the Tashas because they're going to fuck you like whenever you want to fuck, the way you want to fuck. They're going to cook for you. They're going to clean for you. They really are engaged. They really want to hear what you're talking about. They really are listening. He definitely does not have to worry about no infidelity.
Right.
Like, I think it's just going to be like a refreshing turn from a lot of the shit he dealt with Issa.
Right, but we also...
At the beginning.
But that's what I was going to say. What we also have to remember is that we caught Lawrence and Issa at a bad time. If you think about the flashback, Lawrence and Issa were good.
But
they were good.
You're right. But remember, Molly said when they had their beef, you've been beefing about your relationship and your job for 5 years.
Right.
scared to make a change. So even in the good times,
no, she said the job. I think she said you've been thinking about your job for five years. I don't remember. Maybe she did. I don't remember the job.
I watched it again, but I'm almost sure she said something about her relationship as well, which kind of insinuated that like she's just that type of person,
right?
She's never satisfied. It's always something. Because remember, even Lawrence is like, yeah, when they were too close, she's like, yeah, like no matter what, Issa always just complaining about stuff. Like she's just, that's her.
Right.
And Tasha's not going to be that. And right. I think that's going to make him for a little bit be like, yo, she don't be beating my head in all the time. Right. You know, she don't just come home and watch her show and don't want to talk to me or whatever. So I don't know. We'll see. We're going to see, right. I guess, hopefully next fall. But bravo to Issa Rae, the Larry Wilmore. Yeah. HBO, all the other actors involved, writers involved, directors, right. Solange for the music, Raphael for the music, yeah. Like everything.
Oh, and there's a
Spotify, right?
There's an Insecure Spotify playlist with all the music as it appears.
Yeah.
And there's a soundtrack coming.
Oh, as it should be.
Yeah.
Like, show was phenomenal. Like, it was great.
Yeah.
It was just great. Like, it was great from soup to nuts. I loved it from the beginning to the end. I'm sad that it's gone. Everybody seems to be sad that it's going. And everybody's like, it should be an hour. I'm like, no, it shouldn't. Right. Like, a half hour is perfect.
Also, like, Issa and Molly, get off that dirty-ass couch.
The bouch.
Oh, my God.
But so that was the funny thing. They took that couch out and nobody ever took it.
Yeah.
So, like, the bloods were sitting on it. Yeah. It became the hangout spot, you know? Tonight is the finale for Queen Sugar.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we're going home to watch.
Definitely.
Super excited about
see
that, too.
Ralph like, Angel got popping.
Yeah, Hollywood and Vi, like that's probably, I don't know if that's my
Hollywood
favorite.
Hollywood and Vi is just, they're so black.
They might be the blackest
couple. They're the blackest couple on TV.
Absolutely.
They, because Vi is the spirit of every black Southern auntie all rolled up into one.
And Hollywood is everybody's favorite uncle.
With little money.
Or play cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah, who got little money. Change. You know what I'm saying? Who not
enough change to be a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah, he got his truck. He got his little chain.
Yep.
You know, but he a good nigga, though.
Kicks be fresh.
But he a good dude.
Yeah, he's like, a good dude.
He, you know what I'm saying?
Why in Hollywood be at the Essence Fest matching outfits every night?
Nigga. Crazy. All
he,
the linen.
You know, and the gaiters, you know, and his brims.
And the hats.
Crazy. You know, who you know his brims? On. You know his
Sharp.
Hollywood might have a cane.
He might.
He really might.
He might.
Yo, Hollywood and Vi be. I need to find Hollywood and Vi.
They front row when Frankie Beverly come on.
And then they go on a cruise to the fucking Bahamas.
Oh, you know they're going to Tom Joyner?
Oh, they doing all that shit.
All that. Like, they doing all that shit. We know them.
Yeah. They're going to Jazz in the Gardens. They doing all that shit. All that shit.
We like, know they, them. Yeah. Like, you know
like,
them.
Like, we fucking know.
Hollywood
like,
got them sandals.
Yo, yes. Like, that episode where Vi was like, Hollywood gets home today, so I'm going to get my feet done. I was like, oh, my God. Who wrote that? Like, it's so
when she was mad at Hollywood and threw the food in the trash.
When she threw the food in the trash. When he brought her to African Violence, and she said, you could carry them back to Africa.
Yo.
I was like yo.
Oh, my God. I mean, but every character on that show.
Yeah.
I like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, of course, there's flaws in all of them.
Yeah.
And I love that they have flaws. But, like, I'm shocked how much I like Micah.
Yeah.
Because usually kids on TV, I'm like, that's fucking Brad ass. I really like him. Yeah. He's a good kid. Like,
I didn't like, you know.
And
what?
I like the little sassy girl.
I like her.
His girlfriend, she used to kind of give him a little backbone.
I felt like Micah and Charlie, or actually the least developed characters in the beginning.
Yeah, they were.
And they're filling out now.
Crazy.
You know, they've been filling out. They've gotten some depth and some roundness.
Yeah, absolutely.
To them. But at first, they felt very like I really didn't really care about them too much.
Yeah, I love Vi taking over the diner.
Yeah,
like all I just that. I mean, goddamn.
And that little sassy gal at the diner with the titties out, popping gum.
Who
all the time.
We tried to fuck Hollywood.
Who was trying to get at Hollywood? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Didn't Ralph fuck her? Ralph Angel fucked her, right?
Ralph Angel fucked her.
And of course we can't forget about I always forget Rutina's character.
Oh, the chick from
what's her name? Who was dating Reagan Gomez?
The chick from True Blood.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I love her.
Well, I can't remember. I always think of her as Tara from True Blood.
Too sweet.
Name.
I mean, the show was amazing, yo.
Yeah.
Peace to Ava DuVernay. The show was incredible.
Yeah.
So tonight's the finale, so we'll talk about
that next
week. I'm
sad because like all Atlanta's over, Insecure is over,
Queen Sugar's over.
Queen Sugar's almost over.
So we get...
And Westworld, which is not a black show, but which I'm so into. I'm surprised you're not.
I have it all on my DVR. I'm going to binge it.
Yeah, but it's over next week. I'm going to be mass... Like, so I'm just mass
we get, we getting Pauletta back in January.
Yeah, I'm not enthused.
We getting your
I'm
people's...
I'm not enthused because...
We getting your people's back.
Scandal?
Back.
They're not my people.
No, anymore. No. You tripping.
Who?
New Edition movie.
Oh, yes. Nigga. Shit.
Three Nights. They I'm doing so that shit lame. Like the Jacksons. Like that. If I was telling somebody at the job today, if they're doing Three Nights,
yeah.
They're not leaving anything out.
No.
Three Nights is really a feature film.
So I already told everybody, if you listen to the show and you know me in real life, you know whether or not this applies to you. I'm definitely having a watch party at my house the first night and the third night. I might fuck around and tell people to come through all three nights. Like, just come through.
And it looks, the trailers
look great.
But
if you come to my
great.
House, you better know some choreography.
Yeah.
You better know some.
And don't be talking over the TV. The trailers look.
It's so good.
Awesome.
And what's great about this is that all of them were involved.
Yeah.
All of them had input.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Where's Ralph been, though? I ain't seen him around. He won the Soul Train Awards. I haven't seen him with them too much lately.
Was he not at the BET Awards? I mean, at the White House thing? Oh, no, that was just BBD.
That was just BBD. Was,
I mean, he was on tour with him this summer.
Okay, so I don't know. But yeah. if for those who don't know, I'm sure everybody who listens to the show does, if you want to know what Black Twitter is really about, go to Black Twitter when that New Edition movie come on.
Oh, shit.
Niggas gone. That.
I don't even know. I just watched, watching the fucking, what is it? The Sorry You're Not My Type of Girl clip. At the end of the Soul Train Awards, my back was fucked up and I was in my living room dancing. I don't even know what I'm going to do with myself. And I mean, I think our listeners know this by now. Like, I am the New Edition stan.
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
So with that, and then we got the, BT's got the show called The Quad, which I'm going to give a play.
Yeah,
I'm going to give it a play.
Like, it just looks like Stomp the Yard.
Well, maybe, but let's see where they go.
See where they go.
I'm
going to
see where they go.
I'm not really trying to buy into
new
scripted series. Not that kind of scripted series. Like, at least now that we've had like some such smart,
but maybe The Quad might be smart and funny. Let's see what it does.
We'll see.
Let's see. So that's it. We're going to wrap up. Bro, we see you next week. Jordan, hope you feel better.
Later, y'all.
We'll holla.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast. Talk to you next week.